everybody. Mike Malloy here. Welcome to Tuesday's program. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks to the folks at AM 1090 in Seattle for a really great weekend, especially the gig Saturday night if you were there. If you weren't there, you missed quite an event. The radio station tells me that they will soon post the video of that event with all six of us, or was it seven, on stage in an enormous crowd. It'll be posted soon at am1090seattle.com. But thanks to everybody at the Seattle affiliate who provided a real fun weekend for us. We had a good time. Thanks. Thanks, everybody. Maybe see you next year. You never know. I had one of those flights back from Seattle to Atlanta. Flight was fairly uneventful. You know, we flew through a little bit of weather, but no big deal. 4.5 hour flight. We landed and then sat on the tarmac for over an hour waiting for the gate to open. You know, for the plane that was at the gate to move itself. This is a part of air travel that it seems to me to be so easy to solve. If you have a flight coming in, especially one that is where you've had passengers on 200 passengers on for almost 5 hours, and you land, and because you're still in an active taxiing position, you're told to remain seated with your seatbelt on. And the last thing you want to do after 4.5 hours in a long distance flight like that is to stay seated, especially if you have kids or with kids on the flight. You would think, wouldn't you, that Delta Airlines would take care of this? Atlanta is, after all, their hub. This is where they are home based. And the pilot kept coming on saying, "Well, ladies and gentlemen," it wasn't the pilot's fault. "Ladies and gentlemen, there's a plane at the gate that we're supposed to go to, and they're getting people loaded, and pretty soon they'll have their luggage on." Oh, my God. I'm sorry. I'm bitching about something that, well, I think everybody has that experience. If you fly, you've had that experience, right? Hey, newsflash. Oil discovered in Afghanistan. No. A preliminary survey has found that Afghanistan may have 1.8 billion barrels of oil in the north of the country. That's according to an official. The official is a spokesman for the mines ministry in Afghanistan. How about that, huh? Who'd have thunk? The survey by Afghan and international geologists found the possible oil field between so-and-so and so-and-so provinces. No, I'm not even going to try to pronounce them. The spokesman said the survey would be reviewed, and a statement about the possible field is expected by the end of the year or early 2011. He gave no further details. Now, last June, officials, including U.S. geologists, said they believed the country has nearly $1 trillion in mineral resources. Boop! Although it could take decades and peace with the Taliban and other insurgents before it can be fully exploited. Now, this is not exactly a newsflash. Oil was first discovered in Afghanistan, apparently, in 1959. I didn't know that. And a 2006 report by the U.S. Department of Energy estimated that Afghanistan has about 1 billion barrels of recoverable oil, although the U.S. Geological Survey the same year put the figure at nearly 2 billion barrels. Well, what a nice bonus for the United States, huh? I mean, here we are in there just wanting to help people overthrow the Taliban and, you know, force them to accept our form of self-government. Is that a knee slapper? Do you feel like you self-govern anymore, truth seeker? I damn sure don't. Do you? Who governs us? And that's our mission there. Our mission there is honorable, peaceful, justice-filled, loving, kind, remarkably generous on our part. And then, surprise, guess what? $1 trillion worth of minerals? Billions of barrels of oil? Who'd have thunk it? Yeah, but you knew about the oil 60 years ago. It was only 51 years ago. The craziness continues. You know, last week, I was sharing something with you, and I don't know if I finished it. It's a report from the Military Religious Freedom Foundation. By the way, this first hour is going to have a lot of religion in it, not just the American religion, but also the Afghan religion. So, and the reason is because the Crusades are still on. You understand that. And I think rather than refer to our incursion, our invasion of Afghanistan, instead of calling it the U.S. military, I think we need to start saying the Christians have invaded a Muslim country the way it was 800 years ago. We just need to go back to telling the truth. So I think we're going to do that. The Christian invasion of Iraq, the Christian invasion of Afghanistan. Now, I know a lot of smart asses will say, but Mike, back in 1991, the George W. Bush invasion, it wasn't just Christians. There were some Muslim countries, too. Yeah, they were bought into it. You're right. We paid an awful lot of money to the Egyptians and a few other countries that said, oh, and the Saudis, the real cowards of the Middle East, the Saudis and the Kuwaitis were even worse cowards than the Saudis. But you can split hairs as much as you want. Your humble and obedient servant here is going to call it what it is, a Christian invasion of Muslim countries as we continue after nearly a millennium. A matter of fact, about a millennium, the war between Yahweh, Jehovah, and Allah. And it's a war that will never end as long as there is religion on earth. But what's going on? The Christian invaders, their military, is doing somewhat the same as what the Muslim defenders are doing. They're using religious law. The Christian invaders are using religious law to take care of their battlefield wounded. Now, I'm not talking about the ones, the Christians who have arms and legs blown off or their skulls blown open. All the prayer and supplication to a sky cloud being is not going to work. You need surgeons then. You need technicians. You need people who understand prosthetics. You need, because, you know, the sky being has reached down and smashed a Christian soldier because the sky being wants the Christian soldier to come up and be in heaven. In the same manner as the Muslim suicide bombers that go kill scores of people for the sheer hell of it, Allah wants that Muslim suicide bomber to come home and be with all the virgins. So both of these gods, if you listen to their followers, are insane. Right? Now, some will say, well, it's the same God. Oh, no, it isn't. It may be the same God, but this God is schizophrenic in a tripartite way. I mean, this is madness. This is absolute madness. But we're going to focus on the madness for a while this morning. So if this is not your cup of tea, leave. All right? Just go away. Go do something else and come back maybe in an hour if you want to come back at all. But what we're going to talk about here is the madness of the continuation, 1,000 years into it, of the Crusades, the Christians against the Muslims. We'll be right back.
been.
He's a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. It's Mike Malone.
It is 21 past the hour. Mikey Weinstein, who is the founder of the Military Religious Freedom Foundation, he is a Republican. He's a former military officer. I believe he was, a major, I think. Anyway, he sent Secretary of War and Destruction Gates an email trying to bring this to Secretary Gates' attention. He also sent copies of the letter to most of the military chiefs. And he writes, among the many types of shocking incidents and illicit and dehumanizing practices reported to the Military Religious Freedom Foundation, MRFF, have been the military's teaching of creationism as an actual bona fide means of suicide prevention. I'm not sure how that works, but okay. The use of a parachurch military ministries evangelical Christian program to treat PTSD. Service members seeking help being sent to and proselytized by chaplains instead of being sent to mental health professionals. Articles, religious articles in official military publications stating that finding Jesus is the only solution to the mental health problems faced by members of the armed forces. Mandatory mental health training inside chapels, plus countless so-called spiritual fitness events and programs being promoted as mental health solutions. All right, this is crazy. They might as well sit around and say to our members of the military who are suffering from severe battle fatigue, PTSD, whatever you want to call it, why not sit them down and say, here, I'm going to shake some bones in your face and I'm going to wave a dead lizard tail over your head and all your problems are going to go away, okay? Now, when I do that, I'm also going to sprinkle fairy dust on you so you'll be okay. Weinstein's email goes on, perhaps the most alarmingly repugnant stories are those coming in from recent war veterans regarding the widespread practice of so-called battlefield Christian proselytizing. Now, what happens is when on active duty, our service members sought urgently needed mental health counseling. While on the battlefield, and the gun smoke practically still in their faces, they were instead sent to Christian fundamentalist evangelizing chaplains who are apparently being used with increasing proficiency to provide mental health care because of a shortage of mental health professionals. Look, I mean, just between you and me, in order to believe most religious dogma, you have to be mentally ill. You have to be. Because you are required to listen to voices in your head and talk to sky spooks and watch things flying around and envision invisible beings hanging around you, angels. And you have to believe in faith healing and prayer and that doesn't work. And I mean, all kinds of madness. In order to be a fundamentalist Christian, you have got to be mentally off. Off. Now, if I'm offending you, I told you, go away. Don't listen to the program this hour. Chaplains are not certified professional mental health experts. No, they're not. They are, in many instances, the cause of mental illness. Guilt, fear. Fear of one's own mortality, a belief that if one does X, Y, and Z, then all sorts of rewards are going to come. This is tooth fairyism. This is sick, especially when you're talking to people who are involved in killing Muslims. That's what the Christian soldiers are involved in, killing Muslims. So even though they are killing a Muslim for Christ, they are killing a Muslim for the Christian faith. They're also being told by the Christian leaders of their gang that if they don't accept this kind of counseling, they're doomed. According to the reports of these veterans, the chaplains they were sent to for evaluation and treatment had the unmitigated temerity to urge as a medicinal cure a conversion to evangelical Christianity. And sometimes even went as far as disgustingly lacing their so-called counseling with the soldiers' need to stay on the battlefield as a means to, quote, kill Muslims for Christ, end quote. Now, these are reports coming from the battlefield, not from your humble and obedient servant, moi. Even in the best cases, Mikey Weinstein writes, while the chaplain's words of proselytizing may have provided a temporary placebo, allowing these soldiers to return temporarily to combat, within months of returning home from war, their temporary religious faith wore off as their profound mental health symptoms, quite predictably, returned. Now, you can guess what's coming, so stick around, though, and I will share it with you. I'm Mike Malloy.
Flying monkey free fun and frivolity with Mike Malloy.
It is just 25 before the hour. We're talking about an email sent by Mikey Weinstein with the Freedom, the Military Religious Freedom Foundation, to Secretary of War William Gates and the military top commanders in this country about how the U.S. military is chock-a-block with Christian proselytizers, which is not necessarily a shock and a surprise. What Weinstein is trying to do is keep the military free from religious proselytizing. But on the other hand, I think Weinstein has probably figured out by now what most of us have figured out, that the wars in this century are just a continuation of the wars from the 10th century. In the 9th century, it is Christian versus Muslim. And this is going to continue until one of these religions submits. Anyway, Weinstein goes on, for many of our veterans, the severe adverse consequences of being subjected to battlefield Christian proselytizing rather than receiving genuine mental health care have been, the consequences have been, to just name a few, broken families, crime, drug and alcohol abuse, homelessness, and particularly even suicide. Now, you know, truth seeker, that the suicide rate of veterans and active duty service members is at an all-time high. The rate is now greater than the rate in civilian life. What does that tell you about the wonderful, effective balming of Christian proselytizing? Well, it tells you, it should tell you the obvious. It's not working, and it was never designed to work. Weinstein writes, while religious counseling may be helpful to some service members and should certainly be available to those who specifically seek religious counseling, the widespread use of evangelizing Christian chaplains as a substitute for qualified mental health professionals is preventing many service members from getting the serious mental treatment that they desperately need and deserve. And, Weinstein goes on, is most likely exacerbating the unprecedented, unbridled suicide epidemic in the military. You know, when you tell people, when you tell these young people that they're fighting a religious war, and they have to go kill Muslims for Jesus, or that the Islamic faith is trying to subdue and destroy the Christian faith. And these poor soldiers who were, for the most part, brought up with this Christian nonsense, they are left with what? What are they left with? These soldiers are left with the idea that maybe God, the Christian God, is punishing them. Hence, their arm was blown off. Their legs were blown off. Half their head was blown away. This must be God's punishment because the soldier didn't kill enough Muslims. Weinstein goes on, it's just as specious and heinous as having these proselytizing military chaplains substitute for military combat trauma surgeons. He writes, another alarming matter is that due to the heavy promotion by the military of sectarian Christian religious solutions to mental health problems, non-religious, even moderately religious service members struggling with mental health issues or contemplating suicide may not seek the help they need because they think they will just get evangelical fundamentalist Christianity rammed down their throats if they do. So they back off, these soldiers. And then they kill themselves or go home and kill their wives or beat their children or wind up in mental wards at charity hospitals because the VA damn sure is not going to take care of them. Weinstein goes on, the improper use of chaplains to proselytize our psychologically traumatized service members seeking mental health care is an unconstitutional, unconscionable disgrace and is a clear matter of national security because it fatally undermines unit effectiveness for battle. Thus, this issue must be aggressively addressed immediately by you, Mr. Gates, and top military leaders. Weinstein is making the point here that in order for the Christians, and Weinstein is a Jew, in order for the Christians to effectively fight the Muslims in this ongoing religious war that is into its second millennia, in order for the Christians to effectively fight the Muslims, the Christians have got to be given actual mental health support because the Christian so-called mental health support is failing miserably. That's pretty much all Weinstein is saying here. Weinstein is not a peacenik. Weinstein does not advocate the dismantling of the world's militaries. Weinstein does not suggest that people shouldn't go on a battlefield and kill each other. In that regard, Weinstein and I, although he's been on this program, are a million miles apart. The solution to this stuff is, let me think, stop war. He goes on, no more suffering and no more suicides will be tolerated. Suicide can and should be prevented, but not at the price of unconstitutional battlefield proselytizing by officers or enlisted personnel, which is of no value. We are not requesting, we are now demanding a direct, responsive reply from you within the next 10 business days about your plans to stop unconstitutional proselytizing of traumatized service members. What do you want to bet that Mikey Weinstein didn't get an answer? What do you want to bet? He goes on. Given the shamefully rampant suicide rates in the U.S. Army, it is likely that at least another dozen or so United States active duty service members, not counting veterans, will commit suicide during the 10 business days in which we have just demanded to be contacted by you. Sincerely, Michael L. Mikey Weinstein. One of the branches of the U.S. military that has been thoroughly Christianized and proselytized is the United States Air Force, beginning at the U.S. Air Force Academy in Colorado. That is an ongoing shame of this country. You know, how primitive is it to tell people who are about to go into battle go ahead, kill, 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 because if you're harmed on the battlefield, if you die, your soul will go to heaven. Now, who's told that? Huh? The Christians are told that. The Muslims are told that. Who's fighting? The Christians and the Muslims. So what's the downside? Well, to the people who are putting this garbage out there for soldiers or for these miserably misled Muslims, the only ones benefiting are the people in any situation, the people that maintain the control. In this case, the mullahs, the priests, the preachers, working in tandem with the civilian authorities to continue to convince people to go kill and die for Allah or for Jehovah or for Yahweh. And in Afghanistan, the Taliban yesterday or Sunday ordered their first public execution by stoning. The punishment was carried out by hundreds of people, neighbors of the victims, the two being stoned, in a village in northern Kunduz province. That's where all the oil is. Even family members of these two condemned people were involved, both in the stoning and in tricking the couple into returning after they had fled. Guess what happened? It was a death sentence ordered by a religious court against a 25-year-old man and a 19-year-old woman who fell in love. They said, "We love each other no matter what happens." Now, the man, Mr. Khayyam, already had a wife and two children, but under his religious insane laws, he can have as many as, what, four? So he decided he wanted another one, and the Sharia law forbids the type of relationship. They decided to run off, elope, and then I guess come back to the village. They were lured back by family members, and when they got back, they were condemned to death. And when we come back from this break, I'm going to tell you a little bit about how they died. Now think about being stoned to death. Do you understand? That's very Old Testament. It's very Quran. Therefore, it's very Christian, Jewish, Islamic. Stone people to death. Throw stones and rocks at them until the wounds are so grievous they die. We'll be right back.
Practice your synchronized screaming. It's Mike Malloy.
It is 10 before the hour. The first part of today's program, tonight's program, is about religious madness. Anyway, a couple in Afghanistan, the male is 25, the woman's 19. He has one wife already and a couple of kids, but according to their faith, according to Sharia law, he's entitled to three, or is it four, wives. The couple eloped when the man was unable to persuade family members to allow him to marry the young woman. She was already engaged to marry a relative of the young man, but she didn't want to marry him. So they took off and got married. The couple went to a different province in eastern Afghanistan. They stayed with distant relatives. But then, after they got married, family members persuaded them to return to their village, promising to allow them to marry by the local customs. Afghan men are legally allowed to marry up to four wives. Okay, once back in Kunduz, however, they were seized by the Taliban, who convened local mullahs from a surrounding village for a religious court. Oh boy, those are always good, right? After the Taliban sentenced them to die by stoning, the woman, 19, dressed in the head-to-toe Afghan burqa, and the man, 25-year-old Khayyam, who had a wife and two young children, were encircled by a male-only crowd in the middle of the town square, the bazaar, the marketplace. See, women are not allowed to do this. They're allowed to be stoned to death, but they're not allowed to take part in the stoning of somebody else. Isn't that nice? That keeps the women, you know, pure. The headman or the leader of this community, Mr. Khan, estimated that about 200 villagers surrounded the couple one at a time and participated in the executions, including the young man's father and brother and the young woman's brother, as well as other relatives. A larger crowd, 200 villages participated in the murders. A larger crowd gathered and watched, ooh, look, but did not take part. Mr. Khan, the village spokesman, said that the crowd was festive and cheered during the stoning. He said, quote, people were very happy seeing this because the couple did a bad thing, end quote. A spokesman for the Taliban, one Zabiullah Mujahid, praised the executions. He said, quote, we have heard about this report, but let me tell you that according to Sharia law, if someone commits a crime like that, we have our courts and we deal with such crimes based on Islamic law. Which, in this instance, is not very different. There are people in this country, in our country, who would like Islamic law. This part of Islamic law, of course, is based on the Abrahamic law. Abrahamic? How do you pronounce it? Because don't forget that the old man Abraham is the founder of all three of these religions. Abrahamic religion, the people of the book. So it's not just Muslims. Muslims are still the only ones, I guess, that do it. I don't think the Jews do it anymore, even the more primitive fundamentalist Jews. The Christians don't, even the more primitive fundamentalist Christians in this country, although they'd like to. That's what they want. There are people who are running for political office. There are people on radio and television who will tell you that a return to Old Testament law as laid out in Leviticus, among other places, Judges, would be good for the country. It would whip us into shape. So, but they're already doing it, you see, or continuing to do it in some of these crazy Islamic countries. A spokesman from the Human Rights Commission of Afghanistan, yeah, they have one, pointed to a string of recent such cases of summary justice, quote, quote, they refer to this as justice, by the Taliban. In northwestern Baghdiz province on August 8th, a 41-year-old widow who was gotten pregnant by a man she said promised to marry her, was convicted of fornication by a Taliban court. She was given 200 lashes with a whip. Pregnant. 200 lashes with a whip. And then shot to death. The killing was ordered by the local Taliban commander. When President Hamid Karzai heard about this, according to his spokesman, Quote, President Karzai was deeply saddened and grieved when he heard that news. 9 years, and we still see the Taliban doing events like that in Baghdis. Events. So, the Christian fundamentalists who have invaded Afghanistan, the Christian military, has its form of law, its form of taking care of its battle-weary and battle-destroyed soldiers by praying to the same sky spook as the Taliban insists orders executions by stoning and shooting of people who violate their religious law. And you know what? As far as Afghanistan is concerned, it's not going to change. And you know what else? Now that oil, a big oil field has been discovered there, and there's all kinds of natural resources and minerals, we're never, write this down, this is August 17th, 10:57 Eastern Time, the United States military is never going to pull out of Afghanistan. We'll be back after the break.
News lady.
Seven past the hour. This is the Malloy program. Now, lest you think I might be making too big of a deal about this Christianity versus Islam nature of our wars around the globe right now, our invasions and occupations. You know, they're about stealing other countries' natural resources. There's no question about that. But it's also a continuation of 9th, 10th, 11th century crusades, where the Europeans, the Christians, invaded the Middle East in order to take back the so-called Holy Land from the Islamists of long ago. Lest you think it's all just garbage. Well, what about this mosque thing in New York? Right? Have you ever seen such a controversy as this? And New York Times yesterday, or is it today? Republicans seize on mosque issue ahead of elections. Well, of course. You know, all this talk about the rights established for religious freedom under the First Amendment, that's garbage to Christians. That means nothing. Absolutely nothing. They will tell you this is a Christian nation. They will tell you that Christianity is the only way. They will tell you that the Muslims are insane. They will tell you, and you hear them, you can hear these people on television. You can read them in major American media publications. They're there. These are Christians. These are Americans telling you that Islam is sick. Well, of course it's sick. But so are the Christians. Only worse. Calm down. Republican congressional candidates on Monday intensified efforts to inject the divide over construction of an Islamic center near Ground Zero into the midterm campaigns. While the Senate's top Democrat said he objected to the mosque being built there. You know, I was wondering how long it would take the Democratic Party leadership to collapse. Usually, if the Republican minority starts screaming about anything or stomping their feet, it takes, sometimes a week, sometimes 2 weeks, sometimes 72 hours for the Democratic Party leadership to, first of all, run to the cloakroom and wet their own pants and then run out again and say, okay, we concede, okay. Well, Harry Reid has joined the concession crowd. Harry Reid, the Senate Majority Leader and a Democrat facing a difficult re-election, said through a spokesman that those who plan to erect the Islamic Center near the hallowed Ground Zero should look elsewhere. Reid said, quote, the First Amendment protects freedom of religion, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. But, his spokesman said, Senator Reid respects that, but thinks that the mosque should be built someplace else. Someplace else. Not here. Not the Islamic faith where Jews and Muslims and Christians were slaughtered by people who had had enough of the U.S. military in their countries. It gets very confusing, but it's all about religion. In a number of releases and statements, Republican House and Senate candidates challenged Democrats like Mr. Reid to make their positions clear on the construction of a mosque and community center about two blocks from the site of the attack September 11, New York City. Elliot Maynard, a Republican, trying to unseat Representative Nick Rahal II, a Democrat in West Virginia's 3rd District, West Virginia, said in a typical statement, this is what the Republican said, quote, Ground Zero is hallowed ground to Americans. Do you think the Muslims would allow a Jewish temple or Christian church to be built in Mecca? What? New York is the center of Christianity? I'll be goddamned. I didn't know that. I didn't know that. That New York City is the Christian epicenter. I thought it was Rome. No. Jerusalem. No. And you know what? In Jerusalem, you dumbass, Elliot Maynard, in Jerusalem, in the Middle East, guess what you find? Mosques! But now, all of a sudden, Elliot Maynard, a Republican, do you think Muslims would allow a Jewish temple to be built in Mecca? And that's the reason we can't allow an Islamic center to be built in New York City, because according to the guy in West Virginia, New York City, Mecca, And you know what? To the Christian fundamentalist, he's got a very salient point. But to sane people like me around this religious issue, Mr. Elliot Maynard, the Republican, running in West Virginia's 3rd District, is insane. He is a religious nutball. He's crazy. He's out of his mind. But he knows that millions of his fellow countrymen are equally crazy. Republicans are saying that Obama's defense of the right of the developers to pursue the project, to go ahead and build this Islamic center that includes a mosque, show that Obama is out of touch with average Americans. Well, thank Allah for that, right? Somebody has to be out of touch with average Americans like Elliot Maynard that thinks Mecca equals New York. New York equals Mecca. James Renacci, a Republican candidate in Ohio's 16th District, said, quote, it's very troubling to see President Obama again turning a deaf ear to the thoughts and concerns of a majority of Americans, end quote. Oh, yes, we have to kill the Muslims, not allow them to build religious shrines in New York, by God's city. We have to kill them! Carl Hulse, writing the New York Times, says the remarks are a rare instance in this campaign season when Republicans have strayed from a focus on economic issues in their push for substantial gains in the House and Senate in November. The intensity of their attacks around this issue showed that they do not appear worried about the risk of being seen as intolerant or not supportive of the right to freedom of religion. Nick, or Carl, writing at the Times, may I suggest that there is not a Republican in America that thinks about freedom of religion in its definitive sense. Freedom of religion means, by God, you have the freedom to become a Christian, and if you don't, we will effing kill you. Because our holy book tells us that. That's the reason we suck up to the Jews, because, you know, our Messiah has to land in Jew land over there in Jew land in Israel and in Jerusalem. That's where our Messiah has to come down over there. So what we're going to do is pretend like we love the Jews until the day comes that we cut all their throats. And giggle and hoot and laugh as they bleed. As far as the Muslims are concerned, well, you know, there's about 1 billion of them. How many Jews are there? And Jews are easy to get rid of. The Muslims, they're the one. That's why we haven't invaded Israel. Not that many, a couple million. We'll take care of them later. But these Muslims, 1 billion of them, they're like cockroaches. We gotta kill them. Does any of this make sense to you? Huh? Ground zero is hallowed ground to Americans. Elliot Maynard, a Republican in West Virginia, said, do you think the Muslims would allow a Jewish temple or Christian church to be built in Mecca? No, I don't.
You're the great Jesus Christ. Prove to me that you're divine. Change my water into wine. That's all you need to, and I'll know it's all true.
And now a soothing bedtime lullaby. It's Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. This planned community center in New York, a couple of blocks from so-called Ground Zero. I don't know why it's called Ground Zero either. It was where an act of terror committed by 19 people, 11 of whom, is it 11? Or 15 of whom were Saudis. In the ongoing war between, or the ongoing slaughter that is now entering its second millennium between Christians and Muslims. This is a slaughter that goes on without let up. Kill the Christians, kill the Muslims. They almost killed all the Jews, got 6 or 7 million of them 50 or 60 years ago. That's not enough in terms of these religious wars, because there are so many more Christians and so many more Muslims. So the slaughter, the murder, the death and destruction will continue. While the United States gets ready for a huge convulsion of murder and mayhem in this country against Muslims. But this planned community center in Midtown Manhattan, perhaps 15 stories tall, would be built in three adjacent buildings, two blocks north of Ground Zero. One of the buildings is owned by Consolidated Edison, Con Ed in New York, the power company, has yet to be sold. So look at a lot of pressure put on Con Ed. And they should get a lot of pressure. You know, they're just another energy company that gouges the hell out of people. The other two are all but vacant, the other two buildings, but worship services are already taking place in one of them. Now, the developer of all this, Sharif El-Gamal, sounds Egyptian to me, a real estate investor born in New York, has said the center would include meeting rooms, a prayer space, a 500-seat auditorium, and a swimming pool. Now, one thing you got to keep in mind, and this is what the crazy Christians don't tell you, especially the Republican crazy Christians, two mosques, one founded in 1970 and one founded in 1985, are already right there within blocks of hallowed ground. You see, they're so busy and so crowded that a search was begun for more space. That's the reason that this place was suggested. It had nothing to do with disrespect for America's hallowed ground. Or did it? Maybe it's just one more smash in the face by the Muslims against the Christians. And the Christians smash back by bombing villages, blowing up school children. And so it continues. Now, before Obama spoke out about, look, everybody's got a right to worship any way they want, Newt Gingrich, that slime ball, and Sarah Palin, the hoe from Wasilla, had been voicing opposition to the Islamic Center. Why do I call her the hoe from Wasilla? Because John McCain decided to be her pimp during the 2008 presidential primaries. That's why. Gingrich said, quote, he said this yesterday on the Fox and Friends, on the Fox channel, quote, Nazis don't have the right to put up a sign next to the Holocaust Museum in Washington. Tell me what that means. And he went on to say, we would never accept the Japanese putting up a site next to Pearl Harbor. There's no reason for us to accept a mosque next to the World Trade Center, end quote. Well, as usual, Gingrich is so full of himself that he doesn't have a clue as to what is near Pearl Harbor. I'll get to that after the break. Democratic campaign officials, though, have accused Republicans of exploiting these attacks and the building of this mosque. And the Democrats noted that the Republican outrage over the Islamic Center came just a few weeks after many House Republicans opposed, remember this, a new medical program to monitor and treat emergency workers and others suffering ill effects from exposure to hazardous materials that they were exposed to after the attack on the World Trade Center. So this is payback, you see. The Republicans, instead of going along with the idea of allocating a couple of billion dollars to take care of all the sickness, the Republicans said, no, now we're going to do that. That's medicine and science. Nah, you can't trust that. Here's what we'll do. We'll scream and pound our fists on the floor and rend our garments and shriek and yell about the mosque. That's what we'll do. But as far as taking care of the people exposed to the toxic materials as a result of the bombing, we don't give a damn about them. Let them die. But we'll talk about that dirty, rotten mosque. Oh, will we ever?
liberal helping of truth. It's more Mike Malone.
25 before the hour. So Newt Gingrich and a lot of the Republicans, the real crazy people in this country, are you know, exploiting the hell out of this Islamic Center Qum Mosque that's being built or is going to be built near the World Trade Center. And Gingrich, who is usually wrong about everything, he's such a waste of DNA. But he said, we would never accept the Japanese putting up a site next to Pearl Harbor. And therefore, there's no reason for us to accept a mosque next to the World Trade Center. I don't know what he's referencing there. The Japanese population in Hawaii, where Pearl Harbor is, Newt, is a huge percentage of the population of the entire state. But when Gingrich said that, if he just bothered to do some fact-checking before he opens his filthy mouth, this Newt Gingrich, the serial adulterer, they'd probably have come to realize, if they just use Google, they'd come to realize that there are already scores of Shinto, that's a religion, shrines in Hawaii, a couple of them near Pearl Harbor. There are also some Buddhist temples in that area. Now, Limbaugh, who is a moron of the highest order, I don't care how intelligent you right-wing bots think Limbaugh is, he is a dumbass. He is a complete moron. He asks his listeners what they would think of a Hindu temple if it were built at Pearl Harbor. I guess thinking that the Japanese are Hindus, of course. And one of the Wall Street Journal's readers, in an angry comment on an article about the atom bomb anniversary that just passed, said the following, quote, perhaps we should test the Japanese people's resolve by attempting to build a big Christian church at Ground Zero. Now, this shows you the gross ignorance and stupidity of Americans. In Nagasaki, a huge cathedral that was bombed when we dropped our nuclear bomb on Nagasaki, there was a cathedral there, the Urakami Cathedral. There were also churches in Hiroshima in 1945. Both cities have Christian churches today. These cathedrals, Christian, well, Catholic, slash Christian cathedrals, were nuked, along with everything else, by the United States military. But the point is the incredible, monumental ignorance and stupidity, once again, of, yes, the American people. And it's willful ignorance. It is willful stupidity. Americans enjoy remaining stupid so that when they listen to a pig like Limbaugh or a derelict like Sarah Palin or a child molester like Newt Gingrich, when they listen to these filthy, filthy right-wingers tell them lies, rather than check and find out that their leaders are lying to them, the Republicans, the Christians, the right-wingers are content to just sit there with a huge hole in their head while these right-wingers pour in the garbage and the lies. God. And the Daily Coast today, Top Dog 08, writes that four blocks north of the World Trade Center site, there is already Masjid Manhattan. It's at 20 Warren Street, four blocks north of the World Trade Center site. The proposed mosque everyone's talking about is at 51 Park Avenue, two blocks north of the World Trade Center. So, I have people been talking about shutting down, burning, blowing up the Masjid Manhattan, which is a mosque four blocks. Is it two blocks? What's the the perimeter? How close to hallowed ground can the religious crazies who are Muslims build a mosque so that the religious crazies who are Christians can start condemning it and using it for political gain? Somebody, I wish somebody would tell me, is it 100 yards? Is it 3 blocks? How close can a mosque be before the right-wingers, Christian and the right-wing political nuts in this country, start going ballistic? And, oh, no! Huh? Since 1970, Masjid Manhattan, the one that's 4 blocks north of the World Trade Center, since 1970, Masjid Manhattan has been a peaceful, not-for-profit organization located in the area of downtown Manhattan. According to their website, our members are city, state, and federal employees, as well as professional people from the financial area who come to our masjid to perform their daily prayers. So when are the right-wing political crazies and the Christian fundamentalists going to demand that Masjid Manhattan be removed? Huh? From their website, Masjid Manhattan and its members condemn any type of terrorist act, in particular the attacks of 9/11, where non-Muslims as well as Muslims lost their lives. Islam always invites for peace. Therefore, Islam is not responsible for the actions of some ill individuals who, independently from what Islam advocates, have hatred against humanity. As Muslims and as Americans, we will never forget the beloved ones who perished that terrible day of September 11th, 2001. And it goes on and it talks about, on May 25th, 2008, our masjid was evicted and forced to vacate the building, which it occupied for 28 years. By the mercy of Allah, we found a small temporary location just 2 doors down the street from the old location. And we did not have to close the masjid. This new rental space is extremely small and only has room for 20% of our members during a Jummah. The rest of the members have to pray on the sidewalk outside the masjid and are not able to listen to the khutbah. Getting back to Top Dog 08, a few people have pointed out Muslims are already worshiping at 45 Park Place, which is the same group planning to build at 51 Park Place. So there are already 2 mosques near Ground Zero. The New York Times had an article on both groups Saturday, which also mentions a 3rd mosque, 10 blocks further north on West Broadway. None of the current buildings were designed specifically as mosques, so I guess you could get into a discussion of what makes a mosque a mosque. The group building Park 51, the one that's in dispute, calls the building a community center, not a mosque. You see the madness? We have a leadership in this country that is insane. All religious leaders are insane. They have to be insane. I don't mean insane to the point where they're a danger to their neighbors. They're a danger to the world. But all religious leaders, and don't tell me about the nice, peaceful, progressive Christians, all religious leaders are nuts. They have to be in order to convince people, A, that they have an immortal soul, and B, that unless a certain path regarding that immortal soul is followed, that immortal soul is going to be tortured with the most extreme torture ever envisioned for all of eternity. Now, you tell me, truth seeker, and I don't give a damn if you go to church every Sunday. Is that sane? You may believe it, but think for a minute. Are you sane? Are you really not absolute mind-boggling crazy? You mean to tell me you honestly believe that people who don't follow what you follow are going to have their souls tortured for all eternity? That means infinity. That means, well, you can't comprehend what it means. And people tell me that religious leaders are not crazy and they don't pass the craziness on to their followers. I don't care what the religion is. And in the meantime, we are willing to continue to kill each other. Muslims will continue to kill Christians, and Christians will continue to kill Muslims forever and ever, world without end. Amen and amen. Before the hour. Last word on this. This is from Jan in Mill Valley. Hi, Mike. I'd like to think that my grandson recently graduated from college as a chip off the old block. On his Facebook page, he wrote the following, quote, "In fairness, we've been building ground zeros near Iraqi mosques since March 2003. End quote. That's when we invaded Iraq. We've been building ground zeros, yes. What Jan's grandson is saying is nothing but the truth. We have invaded Muslim countries as good Christians are wont to do. That's what good Christians do. They find a Muslim country and invade it. Now, it used to be strictly for religious reasons. Now it is both religious and, how do I put this? For the natural resources, the oil, the mineral rights. So it's both religion and greed. I guess maybe the Christian crusaders from the 8th, 9th, 10th centuries, I guess they were motivated to some degree by greed. Of some sort. But when we invade Muslim countries, we stick all sorts of ground zeros all over the place with our bombs and our white phosphorus and our death and our destruction and our depleted uranium and our weaponry and our murder and our killing people at checkpoints and our butchering children and people at weddings. We do that. I mean, we put ground zeros all over. Whoom. Whoom, like a Christian God hurling thunderbolts. Whoom, whoom. So the Muslims receive their ground zeros, and eventually they respond. Because that's what religious wars are all about. Actually, that's what any war is all about, but especially religious wars. And the thing about religious wars, you know, we talk about 9 years the United States has been involved in murder and death in Afghanistan. That's nothing. 9 years? That's an eye blink. The Muslims and the Christians have been going at each other for 1,100 years. Or possibly more. maybe even 1200, maybe from the very beginning of Islam. I don't know. But I do know that for the past millennium, the Muslims and the Christians have been determined to exterminate each other. So the point of this first big chunk of today's program, I guess, is just I am so sick of hearing about the mosque at Ground Zero and the way the right-wing politicians and now the cowardly, bedwetting, thumb-sucking, hair-twisting Democratic leadership is doing the same thing. Oh, well, maybe there shouldn't be a mosque there. That is hallowed ground. What if the Jews built a synagogue in Mecca? Huh? What if there was a church in Nagasaki? Huh? What if the Japanese built a Shinto temple in Honolulu? Huh? One thing that you can rely on as things become more and more and more chaotic on poor old tired planet Earth, one of the things you can rely on is surely as you can rely on the fact that eventually the sun is going to explode, you can rely on the gross deeper than the deepest sea ignorance of Americans. And the rest of the world is no great shakes either. But we're the ones with all the weaponry. At least today we have all the weaponry. That's soon going to change, you know. And even with all the weaponry, and even though we're the biggest exports of death and destruction on planet Earth, we are still vulnerable. I don't care how many times you go through a checkpoint and have your shoes checked. I don't care how airport checkpoint. I don't care how many times or how many people we set up around our borders. I mean, Jesus, let's just go ahead and build a huge electric fence around the entire circumference of the United States. That still won't stop the religious wars that have been going on for a millennium. The religious wars will continue because the Christians must kill the Muslims. The Muslims must kill the Christians. It is written in their holy books, apparently. Huh? Isn't it? The Jews, they may have had an idea back in the Old Testament, you know, when God said to Moses, sorry, you've been wandering around for 40 years. You're old. Get the hell out of here. But your boy, Joshua, he can go across. And when you get across, Joshua, when you go over the river, when you cross over, butcher everybody! Kill them all! The men, the women, the children, the pregnant children, the babies, slaughter them! Because I am the Lord your God! Now, you tell me if that's not madness. Of course it's madness. And what I'm hoping is that thought will percolate up into your punkin' little mind this Sunday or Friday or Saturday when you go to your religious house and worship. Just remember what your religion is all about. It's about the utter annihilation of the other religions. All right, church is over. When we come back, we'll move on to more secular stuff. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. welcome back. 7 past the hour. Just to follow up here, I got an email from Barb who writes, Mike, as a New Yorker, I wish these people would just mind their own business and stop preaching what's right and wrong. We have a temple, a Jewish temple on every block here, and no one can do a thing about it. Our stores are forced to close on Saturdays, and no one can complain. So why are these same people complaining about a community center? And then she has the latest from the Washington Post. Apparently, New York Governor David Patterson, a Democrat, plans to meet later this week with the Islamic prayer leader and the developer of this Islamic center to discuss the possibility of moving it to an alternate site. This is according to Representative Peter King, Republican in New York. It's just crazy. Well, that's going on the East Coast. On the West Coast, a judge has issued a temporary stay, or an appeals court has issued a temporary stay of the appeals court judge who said, you can start getting married today, I guess, until the state Supreme Court and eventually the U.S. Supreme Court hears this craziness that the religious crazy people have perpetrated against their fellow Americans by saying that you have to be a male and female to get married. Nathan in Oregon sent me this mic. This caught my eye hearing your question the other night at the gig in Seattle. About the Gulf Gusher. And he writes, well, this is in the Herald Sun, while the U.S. media is still cleaning itself up after becoming so spastically excited by the miracle in the Gulf. Well, I'm sorry, Nathan's writing this. While in the U.S., media is still cleaning itself up after becoming so spastically excited by the miracle in the Gulf, the Australians seem to doubt the accuracy of our assessment of the, quote, situation, end quote, in the Gulf of Mexico. So what he's got here is a quote from the Herald Sun in Australia. And it is the science, not the wishes of the Obama administration or BP, but the actual science. Nearly 80% of the crude oil released into the Gulf of Mexico remains in the ecosystem. That's according to researchers at the University of Georgia. They concluded that Sunday in a report that contradicted the rosier estimates of the Obama administration. Now, it's not just the University of Georgia either. It's University of South Florida. Up to 3.2 million barrels have not been cleaned up, the independent researchers found. That's higher than the estimates given by the federal scientists working for NOAA and the Department of the Interior. Marine science professor Charles Hopkins concluded, quote, the oil is still out there. It will take years to degrade, end quote. Now, scientists from both the Obama administration and the University of Georgia agreed it was likely that almost 5 million barrels of oil gushed out of the well after the explosion April 20th killed 11 people. But the Obama administration account of what's happened next to the oil at the well site, located 50 miles off the coast of Louisiana, is disputed by the University of Georgia study. The researchers criticized federal scientists for releasing their conclusions with supposedly scant and unverifiable data. University of Georgia scientists made their own estimates for variables such as the evaporation rate of oil that came in contact with the atmosphere and the degradation rate of oil compounds in the Gulf. The end result of this is that the poison is still in the Gulf, and it's going to remain there. It's going to remain there. Researchers from the Department of Medicine, University of California, San Francisco, wrote that the potential health impacts that are going to be experienced, or the sickness impacts, I guess, way beyond the workers, the people who worked on cleaning BP's disaster up. Residents in the area, too, are going to develop health problems. Benzene is all over the place. That's a cause of respiratory problems linked to certain cancers. But the scientists at UCSF say that exposure to crude oil in the water or by dry chemicals in the air, seafood, drinking water, all of it is contaminated. And the consequences are not only physical. People exposed to the Exxon Valdez spill proved years later to have higher rates of depression and PTSD than people who weren't exposed. So, you know, I mean, is this a surprise? Is it a surprise? Remember George W. Bush's lies from his environmental people. Hey, listen, Lower Manhattan, it's very safe. You can go back down to Wall Street and start churning out all the fake money and the lies and the deception so we can continue to screw not just the American wage earner, but also wage earners all over the planet. So go, y'all, go. It's safe, it's safe, it's safe. And, of course, it wasn't safe. And now that hundreds of thousands of people are suffering from the after effects, people came down to Lower Manhattan to help out and have developed respiratory problems and cancers and all kinds of stuff. And the Republicans say, oh, no, you're not getting anything. That's just another entitlement program. What the hell are you talking about? So here we go again with this thing. Huh? So when... on CNN this morning, they're talking about how the dispersant has commingled with the oil and made it sink to the bottom of the Gulf, where the ecosystem has its very genesis. That's where everything starts, you know, in the lower waters and everything, and it works its way up. So, a dead zone... the size of the eastern half of the United States will probably develop. But not to worry, because up on the surface, hey, it's still beautiful. No tar balls on the beaches, no oil on the surface of the Gulf. Everything is fine. Look at those waves rolling. Hey, look at that. Isn't that cool? Come on down, y'all. Let's go swimming. Come on, bring your children. Bring your little kids down. Now, we understand they have immature immune systems and their organs are still developing. But, hey, forget about it. I'll tell you what. Here's what you do. Pray to Jesus before you come down, or Allah, or whoever you pray to, before you come down, to put a veil of protection around you. Okay? And then come on down and swim in the Gulf of Mexico. You're going to love it. Oil spill. Hey, yo. Look at me. It's all gone. There's no oil spill. It's gone. It was a terrible time back in April. Oh, my God. Yeah, we were all very upset, weren't we? Oh, boy. And all that talk about the Gulf was going to happen to, or what was going to happen in the Gulf. This is going to die, and that's going to die, and these folks are going to get sick, and the porpoises were going to just roll up on the beach, just dutter and door nails. Remember all that? And the shrimp were going to turn black, and that little mud vein through the shrimp is going to be an oil vein. Remember that? Forget about it. Everything's okay. Come on down. Bring the kids. You ever seen a happier kid than a kid running around in the surf? Splashing little rainbows of water up? Rainbows? Not supposed to be rainbows. There are rainbows? Well... okay, listen, bring the kids down. Let's all go swimming. Bring your little children down. Everything's fine. And about 15 years from now, when the kids are hitting their early 20s and they start to develop organ failure, not our fault. Come on down. Have a good time.
truth seekers, gather around the campfire. It's more Mike Malloy.
It is 21 past the hour. And as mentioned earlier, the federal appeals court has extended the stay on same-sex marriages in California until the appeals court decides whether a ban on same-sex marriage is unconstitutional. The ruling was issued by a three-judge panel of the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit, and it came just, about 6 days ago that federal Judge Vaughn Walker lifted a stay he had imposed to allow proponents of the ban to argue why same-sex marriages should not proceed. See, this is more of the religious crap. I almost defy you to, truth seeker, to find me an issue that is facing the planet right now, or part of the planet, that is not somehow tied up in religion. Whether it is the threat of global climate change, no. God takes care of that. Whether it is the economic meltdown, no. People are supposed to be rich. The Bible says the poor shall always be with you. Whether it is a woman's right to privacy, no. Women are not full citizens. Look at any holy text. Gay marriage? What? You see? Show me an issue that somehow does not have a religious aspect in a very negative, sick, fouled up way. Huh? I bet you can't. Even when lifting his stay last Thursday, Judge Walker allowed 6 days for the Ninth Circuit to review both his ruling, they don't have to review the stay, you can just stay it. And that left many gay and lesbian couples and their supporters hopeful that same-sex marriages would resume tomorrow at 5 p.m. when the stay would have expired. Now it's not going to happen. Of course not. We're talking about the queers getting married here. Woo! Lord have mercy! The Bible says weddings will not resume until at least the appeals court decides the case, and perhaps not even then, not until it's decided by the U.S. Supreme Court, where it obviously will be headed. Isn't it going to be fun to watch six Catholics on the U.S. Supreme Court rule on same-sex marriage? What? You think they'll be able to keep their religious indoctrination out of their ruling? What do you think? You want to lay odds? You want to get into a little bet here, folks, that the Supreme Court, when this case does get there, the Supreme Court will say that the Constitution does not allow nor prohibit gay marriage. Therefore, it's not an issue and they won't rule. What do you want to bet? And they'll flip it back to the Ninth Circuit. And the Ninth Circuit will say, we don't think there's an issue here either. So, the Prop 8 did nothing really bad. Boo. What do you want to bet is going to turn out like this? Or even worse. I mean, the nine justices, six of whom are, what do we have? We have six Catholics and three Jews. Is that what we have? The Jews will say, whatever. The Catholics, though, oh my God, so to speak, the Catholics. The panel, the three-judge panel of the Ninth Circuit, requested the first briefs in this to be filed in September for the appeal to be heard in court in December. Now, the first Tuesday in December begins the session of the U.S. Supreme Court, so this will not make it onto the docket for the 2011 session of the Supreme Court, and I don't think the Supreme Court will say there is a compelling interest that it be heard before the 2012 session of the United States Supreme Court, which will begin December 8th, 2012. You see where we're going here? A professor of law at Loyola Law School, Los Angeles, Loyola, which is a Catholic university. A professor there said the ruling, quote, takes the heat off the Supreme Court, end quote, which was likely to have been asked for an emergency stay by those who support Prop 8, those who do believe that some human beings are less equal than others. That would be the Christian fundamentalists. They believe, or the religious fundamentalists, because it's not just Christians. It's also Muslims and, you know, people like that. The professor at Loyola said, quote, I don't think that granting the stay means much, if anything, about how the Ninth Circuit will rule on the merits of the case. It won't be the same panel deciding the merits as decided the stay. This professor added he believed that even supporters of same-sex marriage could see the logic of extending a stay. Oh, yeah. Yes. One of the issues most likely to be settled by the appeals court is that of legal standing. Both the governor and Attorney General Jerry Brown in California, named as defendants in the case, have voiced opposition to Prop 8. They want it gone. That left the defense of the measure primarily to the ballot sponsors. And what interest does the Mormon Church in Utah have in denying people in California the right to same-sex marriage?
At first I was attracted, but after a while, have you ever heard of the hard to get game?
Do you know if you...
C-SPAN, so you don't have to. It's more Mike Malloy.
It is 25 before the hour. Good news for Tom DeLay. The Obama Justice Department has informed Mr. DeLay that it was closing its file on his involvement in the Jack Abramoff criminal activity. Without an indictment. The hammer! Yes, he will not face federal corruption charges over his dealings with the imprisoned Jack Abramoff. 6-year investigation, and they just couldn't find a thing. Or could they? DeLay told reporters in a conference call, "This is a great day for me and my family and all my cockroaches." His legal troubles are not completely over because he still faces a trial in Texas. In Texas. No, wait a minute. Isn't he from Texas? Isn't he from Sugar Land, Texas? Yeah, I think so. He still faces a trial in Texas on unrelated state charges of money laundering and conspiracy in connection with campaign donations during the 2002 election. Oh, that is so long ago. I mean, my God, we hadn't even invaded Iraq then. I'm sure I'll be able to get that dropped real quick, and then I'm going to run for Congress again. Yes, I am. Yeah. A trial on those charges, for which he was indicted in 2005, was delayed for years because of an appeal by co-defendants. Yeah. That's why it's a conspiracy more than... Okay. So all these appeals by the co-defendants about little points of the law and this and that. So Tom just got a free ride. Hey! But a hearing on pretrial motions is scheduled now for next week. Pretrial motions to see if he's going to be tried by the state courts. By the Texas state courts? Tom DeLay? Come on, y'all kidding? Y'all eat damn. Of course he's not. Tom DeLay predicted yesterday that he would be exonerated of those charges as well. Hell, if they ever come to trial, you know what I mean? Oh, did I say that? Is this microphone on? Well, I didn't mean that. I fully stand with the laws of the state of Texas, the Republic of Texas. Well, we used to be a republic, you know. He said he was always confident that he would be found not guilty of any wrongdoing in his dealings with Mr. Abramoff. You haven't been found not guilty. you rat bastard. You haven't been found not guilty. The books were closed because the President of the United States and his advisors want to look forward and not back. So all of you Republican criminals that existed for all those years, especially during the 8 years of the Bush crime family, y'all are home free. Every last jag one of you, even the ones who wrote the torture memos, they've all been cleared. You've been cleared. All the books are closed. Hey, we got to move on, right? And I'm sure when you Republicans regain control of the House and the Senate, as you will eventually, you're just going to move on too, right? You're not going to look back, huh? At the Negro, the Kenyan that was in the White House, you're just going to move on, right, Tom? Huh? Oh, I'm sorry. Abramoff was released from prison in June. That's right. Sorry, Jack. I didn't mean to imply you were still in the slam. But the scandal led to conviction. The scandal that Tom DeLay, at which Tom DeLay was the very heart and soul of it, led to convictions of guilty pleas by two of DeLay's former aides, former Representative Bob Ney, Republican of Ohio, two of DeLay's aides. I'm not saying Bob Ney was one, but two former DeLay aides, Representative Bob Ney, Republican of Ohio, two former White House officials, Mr. Abramoff himself, and several other former congressional aides and lobbyists. All of them, they all pled guilty, but not the hammer. No, hell no, I didn't do nothing. You can't prove nothing on me. You can't prove nothing on me. And besides, I've been going to church. I go on Wednesdays, too, for prayer meeting. Yeah, yes, I do. Melanie Sloan, who's the executive director of Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. I'm not laughing at Melanie Sloan or her organization. I'm just laughing at the term. Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. Anyway, Melanie Sloan, that's a government watchdog group, by the way, issued a statement. She sharply criticized the Justice Department's decision to close the investigation of Mr. DeLay with no charges. She said, quote, "It's a sad day for America when one of the most corrupt members to ever walk the halls of Congress gets a free pass." She went on to say, "The Justice Department's decision not to prosecute Mr. DeLay for his actions sends exactly the wrong message to current and future members," end quote. Well, Melanie, you know, once again, I hate to be the skunk at the picnic like I was at that forum in Seattle last Saturday, but you know what? It's not sending the wrong message to current and former members. It's sending the right message. Please, Melanie, don't be like me. Don't live in a fantasy land where people who go to Congress, whether it's the House or the Senate, are supposed to act in a reputable, honorable, decent way. They're supposed to pursue justice. They're supposed to protect the Constitution of the United States. They're supposed to not be corrupt. They're not supposed to get involved in fraud and conspiracies and lies and deceit. Come on, Melanie. You don't really believe that anymore, do you, honey? I damn sure don't. Come on, Melanie. It sends DeLay's exoneration of the federal charges says exactly the right message. Come on, boys. The swamp's wide open. Come on in here. Come on, show up with your bags and we'll fill it full of money. Hell, show up with your pickup trucks. We'll fill that full of money. Just do what corporate America tells you to do and everything is cool. Oops, there I go again. Melanie Sloan. It's a sad day for America when one of the most corrupt members to ever walk the halls of Congress gets a free pass. Yeah, it is a sad day for America, Melanie, but America does not exist in Washington, D.C. That is That's the core of the nest. That's right down into the bowels of the beast. It's right in there where the bladder and the excretory functions are put together. Right there. Right there. That's where the decisions are made on who gets bombed, who gets screwed out of their savings, whose banks are going to fail, whose homes are going to be repossessed. Huh? Who's not going to get Social Security? Who's going to see the social safety net put together over 80 years of hard, backbreaking work? Whose social safety net is going to be ripped to pieces? Now, I'm sorry, Melanie. It's not the wrong message to current and future members. It's the exact right message. Does anyone out there believe? I mean, Melanie Sloan, I'd like to ask her. I guess we could book her as a guest, but eh. Does anyone out there believe that future members of the United States Congress are going to be different from the current members and the past members? What's going to happen? Is there going to be a lightning bolt? Is it going to come from Mount Olympus? Is it going to come from, where's it going to come from? A lightning bolt of truth and justice is going to zap down so that people who are considering running for the House or the Senate are going to say, well, I've got to be trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean. And that's the Boy Scout oath. Sorry. People who go to Washington, especially Republicans, go there for one reason, to get what they can get, to stuff their pockets, to make connections, to help their family members. The people of the United States can suck where it concerns the Congress of the United States. The President of the United States, he or she will spend billions to get elected to an office that at this point is functionless, except where it concerns issuing edicts about torture and invading countries and suggesting massive budgets to sustain those invasions and to keep the veil of secrecy over everything that's being done. Oh, gosh darn it. I'm just doing it again. I am just being so cynical here on this beautiful Tuesday. It is 10 before the hour. Regarding the delay story, and asking for comments about this, the Justice Department has a policy of not discussing or confirming investigations that end without charges. And a spokesperson for the Justice Department declined to comment. Tom DeLay's lawyer said prosecutors had periodically contacted him to ask questions over the years, but had never requested an interview with DeLay himself. Tom DeLay, the target of the investigation, had never been questioned. Now, obviously, it wasn't going to happen during the Bush years, but our glorious President Obama, the Democrat, the progressive, the liberal, the